He has something for me. He has something for you. God is faithful, and he'll cause things, whatever your needs are, whether they're physical things or financial, whatever they are, and also the things that God has been asking you or maybe placing on your heart to do, God will fulfill them through your life. He has the way for you to follow. You're not the one who's going to be making the first tracks to where God is asking you to go. And the things he's asking you to do, God has already been there. And he's prepared the way. This morning, my message is entitled, My History is Not My Destiny. Can you relate to that? Would you like to relate to that? My history is not my destiny. You know, there's things that that exist in life. There are all kinds of things. Life is just full of different kinds of things to describe it. It's filled up with, there's good times, there's bad times. There's no pain, and there's pain. There's gain, and then there's no gain. In some days, it just, sometimes all these things happen at once, and sometimes they come in sporadic timings. You can move forward, and sometimes you move backward, or you're not going anywhere. It seems like you're not going anywhere. Anyone been there? Almost all of us have. Life that we live is full of, it's always full of challenges. Challenges never stop in the life that we live. They come in all different shapes, forms. They come through people. They come through circumstances. They come through weather. They come through all kinds of things that life presents to us, full of challenges. And there's things that life throws at us that are unexpected. I do not like those. Do you? I don't like unexpected things that catch you. They have the proverbial saying, with your pants down. Maybe that's not apropos to say here today, I don't know, but it just seems that way. You know, they just happen. Unexpected things. There's things that can make you laugh. Who here has lost it when they've laughed? And there's things that come in life that makes you cry and you can't stop. You been there too? That's all part of life, the things that life throws at us. But the most amazing thing out of the whole realm that life, that the life that we live and the life that we live in, the spectrum of time, it's only just a little beep in eternity. It's here and it's going to be gone. Is the fact that nothing in this life ever, 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 ever affects what God has planned for each one of us, his plans and his purposes. It may seem so sometimes, doesn't it? It seems like, you know, God, where are you? I've read your word and you've said this and you've said that, and I'm not seeing this right now in my life. But life does not ever, ever, ever affect the plans and the purposes and the way God's going to take care of you, the way God's going to take care of me. And the longer you live, the more you can look. When you look in your rearview mirror, there's a lot more road back there that you can see the footprints of Jesus that's walked with you. There's more times that when you look back, even in the most ridiculously hard, unexpected times that have come your way, you'll always look back and you can see the furthest you can look back if you're a lot older. You still see the hand of God and his faithfulness on your life. And that's got to be a testimony to God. It's got to be a testimony to the faithfulness of his call. You know, it's history. Life that we live, it's our history. But our history is his story that he's working through us all the time. Whether we're younger and really young, we don't know that many things. We haven't been through that much experience. And the older we get, we can relate to a lot of the things that sometimes pastors or preachers or evangelists are talking about. And even people in business realms and other things that are not even Christian. You can relate to those things if you're older, because they're older and they've gone through more experience. And there's a knowledge of experience that comes through profoundly. We can see this all wrapped up, how nothing's going to accept life, God is not going to accept, and what he has in his plan and purpose is never going to accept, nor will it accept, all that life is going to throw at you. Let's take a look at a verse of scripture, Jeremiah 29. All of us know this, I think. And it's beginning with verse 11. For I know, this is God speaking through his prophet Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Sometimes when you go to bed at night and your thoughts are just all jumbled up, or they're all filled with pain, or they're all filled with lack, or they're filled with a lack of faith, or there's things that you've been waiting for. You know, it costs you to wait on the Lord. It costs you to wait. It costs me to wait on the Lord. We'll get into that in a minute, though. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace, they're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. If there's anything that life is trying to usurp out of anybody's life and under the auspices of the little God, little G, God, Satan of this world, that he's trying to usurp out of your life is a future and your hope. You don't have those two things, you might as well lay down and die. You see, people, and I've been watching this, and it's not just because this sermon partly has come out from that, but I've seen people walking when I go for walks sometimes, or go to the mall, or if we go out to eat sometime, I don't say anything, but I see people walking. And it's not making fun of them. It's a really serious thing. They're downtrodden. People have heavy weights on their shoulders. People have thoughts that have been crumpled up and dreams that have been destroyed because of what life has thrown at them, and making wrong choices, and Satan throwing all kinds of stuff in this life at them to destroy them and to sift them into nothing, that the wind would just blow them off and forget them. That's exactly what Satan wants to do with every single one of us. But thank God for the scripture. It's like a hammer that beats against the devil. It's like a tree of life that never ceases. The life of the sap that comes out of that the rivers of life that flows through and to us. If you just believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, but you will live a life that brings you above the waters. We just got through singing it. He'll keep your head above, and you don't have to live just in a maintenance mode. I don't like a Christianity that says, well, God is so good, and he's causing us to just live a life maintaining and surviving. I don't want to just maintain, and I don't want to just survive. I want to revive. I want to go somewhere. I want to do something. I want to accomplish something in my life. And I love it when other people accomplish something. When I speak to business people sometimes, you know, the place where Aubrey works, the Three Flamingos, you know, this fella, I'd like to sit down. I'm going to do it one of these days. But I'm going to sit down and have a long talk with him. He's just a sort of a young fella. But it's an astounding thing what this guy's doing, just moving into this new realm of this shop. And it's just, he hit the right spot, and man, it's just going off. There's other people that are doing things. I love talking to business people. I love talking to people that have been in business. I love talking to people, and if you don't mind me saying this, my brother Graham, we went out for coffee, and there's a very astute person that we've got in our midst. He accomplished a lot in his life in Sydney. Amazing. Amazing things, amazing people, that all the odds that were against them, they did something that lasts, and other people can look at it, and it encourages them. Let's go on to the next verse. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. That's a promise. Have you gone to the Lord? Have you prayed? Have you sought after God? God's promise is, he says, I will listen to you when you talk. Well, who am I in the midst of like 7 billion plus people? When I say something to God, does he have an ear that can possibly hear something as minuscule that I have to offer him to listen to? Are my needs as great? You know, one of the things that Pastor Marianne has met up with people that are in cancer care, and things that we've done with Cherry and Kylie when we've gone out, and Rick when we've gone out with Inside Out, is that the people that are receiving things say, there are people worse off than I am. I really don't need this. Bring it to someone else. They deserve it more than we do. God has, and we tell them, Terry has said it, you're as important as the other people as well. You've got a need. That's why we've come. That's why we've deposited these boxes, these parcels to you to make you happy. Just for a moment, even, but just to do something for you to make you happy. Because God's interested in everybody. God's interested in your needs. If we'll just call upon his name, whatever the things we have that we need, God says he'll find us. When we find him, he'll listen to us. He looks just like us in the spirit. He has mud flaps. Jesus, if you look at Jesus, Jesus said, oh, I'm not lying either, because Jesus says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Amazing. Amazing. And it's God who said, and I will listen to you. In verse 13, sweetheart, thanks. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know, one of the blockages that we have as Christians is the fact that we are searching for God, but in a society that we live in, the Western world, we always have a capacity to go so far, and then we can back off because we have other things to bring us comfort. In third world countries, you hear of these people that go over there and preach the gospel, and they suck it up, and there's miracles, and there's signs, and there's wonders, but that's all they've got is to hear the word. And what Satan has done in the Western society has closed our ears with stuff and with voices and with circumstances and with things of challenges that life has thrown at us to keep us down and to bury us under his feet, when that's not even our position, far from it. Satan is under our feet because we are in Christ, and Satan is under Christ's feet. We are the body of Christ. And so we have the power to change things in our life. We have the power of creativity to speak things out, even though they don't exist, to speak those things out. Aubrey brought a brilliant message. I can't reiterate all of it, but I was just sitting there thinking, yes, yes, yes. Science does show God. It shows him off real good because God created science. And all things consist through his knowledge, whether people believe it or not. Next time a person that says, I'm an atheist, and you see them sit, swing their rear end down, and sit in a seat without thinking about it, tell them about it. There's principles here holding you up. God created them all. Only part of them. Only part of the things he's created. Praise. I better move on. I got 16 pages here. No, not really. Okay. You're going to be there a long time, Hannah. And some of us will grow a beard by the time I'm finished. No. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 27. This is incredible. When I'm under pressure, I know there's a lot of other people that do have scriptures. When I am under intense pressure of things that I'm believing for and things that I need and things that I want to have done and whatever else it is, whether it's in ministry or personal or whatever else, I go to these scriptures, Jeremiah 29. I go to the scripture here, these scriptures, Isaiah chapter 40. Let's take a look at it. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, the church, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God? Have Do you feel that way sometimes? You need to put a claim in for something, and it's another piece of paper on a stack, and it keeps on stacking up over your claim, and it's like, when is it ever going to get done and seen? And there's been prayers that I've offered up to God. God, I send my ministering angels to that pile of paper of claims to throw them off and pick mine up and bring it to the top so it can get done. And it was a lot of times it's done. In fact, most of the time it's done. Supernatural. Supernatural. It's not showing off. It's just that God hit the things that we have need of. God sees everything. Don't let the devil hoodwink you. Don't let people lie to you and believe their lies, because it's the lie of the devil. God hears everything when you speak it out to him, especially when you're calling upon his name. Verse 28, have you not known? These are questions you need to ask yourself. Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints, thank God, nor is weary, thank God even more, because if he's cranky, look out. His understanding is unsearchable. But it doesn't mean you can't find out the unsearchable things of God. That's what science is all about. Praise God. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Anyone here need strength? Anyone here need, if you're weak, you need strength this morning in your physical body? Or maybe you've been just inundated with thoughts that you have to process and you have to take care of those things. God is able to strengthen the weak, give power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths, sometimes become youthless and useless. How can you dare say that, Pastor Chuck? Because I was a youth once who was in some ways youthless. And God picked me up out of my youthlessness and gave me a youthful heart of understanding at an earlier age. It started to put me on a road that I never look back on. I never doubt. I would never doubt, because I've seen too much of God's hand in it. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. What is the glory of a young man? Basically, a young woman too. What is the real glory of a young man? Their strength in the natural. Hormones only last for a certain time, then they start ebbing off. And that's a sign you start to show a little bit of aging. A little bit more weaker in areas. But God has not made us to walk around as people that are so enfeebled that we can't do anything. Remember that. There's a society today that is showing people that when you start reaching a certain age, even late 40s, my God, you got to be joking. I built my house when I was 40. It's to start looking at sort of hanging things up, begin to want to sort of walk with a cane. Now, I'm having respect for people who are not maybe suffering even this morning with health conditions. But God is your source for power. God is your source for healing. But they're telling us that you got to start hanging your boots up and that you got to use by date. Well, who ever said that? I don't find that in God's word. That's what I find right here. It says, even the youths shall act like old people. Bent down. Have you ever seen them at the mall? Have you seen them in Wollongong? Have you seen them in your travels around Australia? I've seen them in America. Pastor Sue Ellen has seen them in Honolulu when she was there. Youth that are wasted. They're old at a young age. Inside their mind, inside their body, and their spirits decrepit. They need Jesus. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Utterly, you can't do anything with it. That means that's it. Kaput. That's Russian. Where's Svetlana? But those who wait, oh, I love that word, wait. Those who wait, sometimes I don't like it. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a lot in these scriptures, man. In verse 31, there's a lot in that little nugget. It's a gospel to take every day. Okay? Some got it, some didn't. Some don't want to hear it. Some just don't want to react. That's all right. But look at it. Those who wait. Who here likes to wait? Just like me. Nobody likes to wait. We live in an age, friends, when you've got technology, there's too much of it. You know, it's like when you get your phone and you want to text someone and you text someone and all of a sudden you text them and you hear it, the line goes across, it's sent, boom. Even if it's around the world, all of a sudden, within maybe 10, 15 seconds, come on, how come they're not responding? It's an age, everything has to be done yesterday. It's really, in a sense, what Satan has done. It's fantastic technology, but what it's causing everybody, most people, especially the young ones, it's causing us to become impatient. Got to have it now. How come they're not answering? Your laptop. I just ordered something. How come it's not working? I can see you looking at me. How come it's not working? How come the store hasn't responded? Now. I've got to look at something, and you've got to look at something too. We are new kids on the block. It says in Genesis 1, that's going way back, Genesis 1, that in 26, let us make man in our image. And he did. And we're here. We're new kids on the block. There's things that have existed eons back in eternity. It says in Isaiah 57. I think I've got that down. Do I have that down? I don't. Isaiah 57, I think it's verse 15, the first part of that. I, the Lord, the Holy One, who inhabits or lives or dwells in eternity. And we're on this little blue ball, circling real fast, and you can't see it past Pluto. And we get impatient. How come God hasn't answered? How come God isn't answering my prayers? When we don't realize that God says he listens when you cry and you talk to him. He listens when you talk to him. He listens when your heart cries out. Our problem is going to be having to learn to wait. You can wait even in the natural. How many people here have just waited to sort of like you order something and you click the phone down or you just click the phone off and I've ordered and I've got to wait. I've got 2 weeks to wait. So what do? Just wait. You can wait for things in the natural. You can wait on nothing even. Just waste your time waiting on nothing. Figure that one out yourself. But there's a glimpse that God gives us that's a spiritual principle. He says, those who wait on the Lord. There's a difference. The Lord is eternal. The Lord is the one who has and created all things. The Lord is the one who has eternal life. The Lord is the one who's able to answer your prayers and your call. So therefore, if you want to wait on nothing, you're not going to get much. But if you wait on the Lord, you're not only going to get renewed strength. You're not only going to get other things, so you'll run and not grow weary. You'll not only get that, but you'll get something that'll make you run and walk so you don't faint. You get to your destiny. Get to your destiny. That's what God's trying to do with us, to encourage that. Praise God. Competition. Ding dong. How can I illustrate this? Here goes another scientific thing here, but that's just the way it is. Because it happens all the time. Who here has heard or has seen lightning? Who here has been close to a lightning bolt striking the ground or something? You don't want to be too close. I remember one time in Bible college, we were living in our caravan. And I used to always wake up and watch the storms that used to come in from the south, from Joplin towards Springfield, where we were at in the Bible college. And I'd get up and Mary says, stay away from the window. You know, what did you get enough for? And I'd go out and I'd watch. And one time I went to the front window of our caravan, and the storms were coming in. It was raining. It was hailing. And there were predictions of tornadoes in the vicinity, even south, the south part of us. And I'm up looking out the window, and bam! A lightning bolt hit right in front of the street where I was. I ran back and jumped in bed, man. It was bam! To this day, man, it was the worst thing I ever, one of the worst things I ever experienced in my life. I was frightened out of my wits, man. I was running down the hallway in my underwear, jumping in bed, man. It's powerful. Lightning's powerful. God is powerful. Lightning basically is these tiny little particles, negative and positive, that are basically are always in existence. They exist all over. But if you don't have a storm or things that cause them to be out of balance, they're all in balance. Right now, there's enough energy in here to create lightning if we needed to. Static, whatever. But it's during the storm that these, in the clouds and the disturbance, the turbulence in the atmosphere that causes these negative, and I'm going somewhere with this, that cause the negative and the positive to separate. The negatives stay up and the positives are on the ground, on the earth level. And there's something about the separation in the storm because of the turbulence that the negatives, it's like, you know, the magnets. Do you ever put two magnets together? If you have them the right way, south pole, north pole, they'll. But if you have north pole, they'll repel. That's balance. But there's something that happens in the cloud that the negative particles are all accumulating, and then the particles for the positive are on the ground level. Anything sticking up that's a conduit, it's going to charge. There's a vent that comes down and charges, and bam, the power is released because it needs balance. That's a principle of God. He made things in balance. Why do you think Jesus was able to calm the storm? What was the storm all about that was on the Sea of Galilee? It was things in turbulence. And those disciples were caught in that turbulence. But who are you going to call when you're in a storm? Not the Ghostbusters. You're going to call Jesus. You better. Or you're going to drown. Jesus makes things and he brings things to order. Friends, the most important thing I want us to remember today is it's during our storms. Because, I mean, God, his presence, if you're going through some good stuff right now and you've got a good balance in your life, God's still here. His power is still, the earth is filled with the glory of God. And if God's presence, that means that God, his power is here as well. He hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't gone on holidays. He's not gone to lunch like some of us think, or I think sometimes when I'm praying. He's here. But it's in the storms. It's really interesting, I find, with this concept, even with lightning. And John G. Lake, who had a powerful ministry in the early 1900s, said God's power, when it's released, is like lightning snapping down and destroys disease. It causes people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, power. It's in the storms we may feel like we're being separated. we're in the turbulence. But God's presence is still with us. Always, always, always. If we could take a look at a verse of Scripture, I think it's Romans 8, is it? Yes, Romans 8, 37 through 39. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What things is he talking about? What things was Paul talking about here? Everything in life, everything that life could throw at you, all the challenges, all the negativities, all the good times. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's not the kind of human love that you love with someone else, because that's conditional a lot of times. Well, that's as far as we could go. God's love is unconditional. And you only have unconditional love when you receive Jesus Christ, because you know you have that same love that's able to flow through you. It's not conditional. It's unconditional. It's agape love. Next one. For I am persuaded, and this is the beauty of it, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor panic, nor powers, went out. Oh. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing, a created thing, shall be able to separate us. Do you have any storms in your life? From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing is able to separate you from the things that I was talking about this morning. God is able, in the most severe storms of your life, he's able to meet your need. He created us. He knows all of our makeup. He put all of our parts in his book. If there's one that's being intimidated, if there's a part that's being broken, if there's a part that's sort of like deteriorated, if there's a part, something or whatever, well, people say, what about when you get older? Well, I like to look at those people who, when we're saying older, like I like to look at, like, there's a person even older than Ken, Caleb, 85. And he says he still felt like he was 40, ready to go. He had the faith. He was one of the two that had the positive report when they were sent into the promised land to bring a good report back. We can do it. We can go get him. We can go whoop him. He had that same tenacity. And he didn't change that much either compared to some of the other ones, because at 85, he says, I feel like I got the strength of a 40-year-old. Whoop him! Let's go get him. Let's go get life. Let's ask God to do something on our behalf. Let's ask God first to break away the challenges of our thinking that God really can't take care of this. When you lift something up that's bigger than God, it becomes an idol. If it's a health matter, if it's a mental thing, whatever it is, if it's anything that you lift up that you say, I still got it one of these days, it becomes, in the long run, an idol. It becomes an idol. God is able to crush that idol with his hammer of the word and destroy it so that you can see through the brick wall on the other side that Satan has put up so you can't see it. You can look through it and say, I can do it. I can reach it. I can get there, just like old Caleb did. What about Moses? He didn't die in a bad way. He just went off and just, his spirit went, as far as we know, we're not really sure, but he died an older man. Older man. Did it say he was in a wheelchair? Maybe sometimes he thought he needed to be in one, the way things were happening with his life sometimes. But friends, I tell you what, it says that his spirit, God just took him home. God just took him home. The presence of God, the glory of God, is the factor that we need in our lives, that we need to face any of the challenges, any of the storms. The power of God is always, always, always there to cause you to be healed, to cause you to have what you speak out come to pass. That's why Paul put it down. Paul, wasn't he inspired of the Holy Spirit? That's why his book is in the Bible. We call things that are not as though they are. If I may just use one thing, even the most recent thing for ourselves, for this house, we were calling. But sometimes I ended up calling, but I was looking to try to help God. There was a few places I really liked, and so did you. And we look back on it now, and we see why God severed it. We see why God did this. What was he doing? We're new kids on the block. We had to offer up our faith. We had to continue just believing in God's word by faith. You know that? Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Do this. Come on. You can hear and you can see through faith. That's what faith is. It's hearing something in the spirit that you cannot see. It's realizing that what the Word of God says, there's a chair there. There's a blockage there. That's not the way to go. That's not the right thing to do. He wants me to go here because there's a cul-de-sac there. And he brings you. Finally, we say, well, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. And we worship God. We praise him. You know what I found this through the last years, these years that we've been living, is that when it's become real tough, it's not just trying to display faith here. When I'm by myself, thank you, God. Words coming out of my mouth that otherwise would not have faith at all. It's speaking things out until God shows up, because I'm the new boy on the block. And my dad's taking care of me. My heavenly father's taking care of me. Our heavenly father's taking care of you as well. He's our father who art in heaven. Holy be his name. His kingdom come. His will be done on earth. Do you need something on earth? As it is in heaven. Well, what's the difference? There's a bit of separation. Remember those particles? We're down here, it seems. God's there, but his presence is he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Why do you think Jesus said that? As soon as you start going through something, God's looking for the positive in you. Bam! Lightning strike. Remember that old song? You probably don't remember, the young people. Maybe a few older people here might. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you. And me, you got it. You don't run under a tree when it rains. Why? When it's thundering. Because the tree might get struck. And there's been many people who have been struck by lightning because the negatives were coming down to get the posies. God's looking for you, though. God's not going to destroy you. But God wants to send his power bolt into your life. Whatever you need, God is able. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen? I'm done. But we're not. Amen. Praise God. Anyone need prayer this morning, or leave the altars open for you for a couple of minutes? I don't like to close without having the altars open for a couple of minutes. People want to spend some time because there's a beautiful presence of God here. Started with our worship. Started with all of us coming in together by faith. Amen. Fantastic job you guys did this morning as well.